The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
The Final Edition asks the man on the street, what do you think about young people in the United States and Europe trying to join ISIS?
Look, we all went through that phase where we wanted to blow ourselves up.
Well, when I was a teenager, I left home hoping to join Was Not Was.
Mr. President, what about Benghazi?
I already cut off people's heads. Why do I have to join ISIS?
Look, we've all gone through that phase where we wanted to burn a pilot alive.
I think the worst thing about this is now, who's going to pay off their student loans?
Leave ISIS alone! Leave ISIS alone!
I think anything that creates less young people is probably for the best.
Well, these kids with their fornicating and their Tiger Beat magazines, I think a little ISIS might be just what they need.
I respect anyone that's trying to get a job.
Get ready, America. Bill O'Reilly's new nonfiction novel, I Saw All the Suicides, 100% Fact, is coming this spring. Look out, history. Here comes the Bill O'Reilly book tour. Hear Bill O'Reilly recount the haunting moment he saw Russian emigre George DeMorenschild, who knew Lee Harvey Oswald, blast himself with a shotgun.
I walked up to his door to report on this son of a bitch, and blam, he offed himself. I should know. I was there.
And hear about other suicides that Bill O'Reilly saw, like Ernest Hemingway.
Papa plucked one last typewriter stroke, looked up at me and said, "This masterpiece is Old Man in the Sea. What do you think of that title, you son of a bitch?" Then he pulled out the shotgun and said, "Now I'm going to off myself, Bill O'Reilly." I said, "Don't you do it, you son of a bitch." And blam, he offed himself. I should know. I was there.
And Marilyn Monroe.
She got naked, did a little dance for me, then took out the pills and yelled, "Liberals are the real enemy." She swallowed the whole damn bottle. By the time the CIA had arrived to kill her, it was too late. She offed herself. I turned to my good friend Grover Cleveland, who was in the room with me, and said, "Why didn't you stop her, you son of a bitch? Now we have a starlet who offed herself in the White House. I should know. I was there."
Bill O'Reilly saw all the suicides, and hear him recount all of his favorites, including Vincent van Gogh, Sylvia Plath, and Joseph Goebbels.
I saw them all. I said, "Hey, you sons of bitches, don't off yourselves." They did. They all offed themselves. I should know. I was there.
Bill O'Reilly book tour promoting his newest I Saw All the Suicides 100% Fact coming this spring. Brought to you by Fox News. We distort, you delude.
The Final Edition presents Real Voices of CPAC.
I want a commander-in-chief who will do everything in their power to ensure that the threat from radical Islamic terrorists do not wash up on American soil. We will have someone who leads. If I can take on 100,000 protesters, I can do the same across the world.
Several attendees walked out at the beginning of Jeb Bush's Q&A with Sean Hannity. And the conservatives who stayed actually booed a little bit when the topic of immigration reform came up.
And I'm going to say this quite plainly. The unemployment rate is a sham. It leaves millions of American workers uncounted.
Prime Minister Netanyahu, congratulations on your speech today. Very powerful, sir.
Thank you, Speaker Boehner.
29 standing ovations. The president hasn't even had that many.
Ha ha, yes. Obama is probably fuming right now, curled up somewhere in a little ball.
Probably pouting like a little girl.
Ha ha. Oh, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to congratulate you for going around Obama's authority and inviting me to speak.
My pleasure, sir. John Boehner answers to one man, and that's John Boehner. Obama's not the boss of me.
Ha ha, good to hear. And therefore, I have another favor to ask of you.
What's on your mind?
I want you to declare war on Iran.
What?
Won't that be exciting?
Well, yeah, but I don't think that's going to fly with the president.
The president? Didn't you just say he's not the boss of you?
Well, yes, I did just say that.
Congress can declare wars, true or false?
True.
And are you not the head of Congress?
Basically.
So? Declare a war, damn it! You afraid of Obama or something?
No. Okay, I'll do it. I'll declare war on Iran.
Ha ha! Excellent!
I can't wait to see the look on Obama's face when I bring this up to Congress tomorrow. Hey, what are you doing, taking my picture?
No, I'm filming you. Here, read this war declaration I drafted.
Wait, you want me to declare war right now?
No time like the present, Mr. Speaker. Just read the card.
Now, hold on a minute.
Live a little, Boehner. Remember, Obama doesn't want this. And action!
Hello, Iran. John Boehner here. I'd like to officially say that the United States is now at war with you. We're at war now. Good night.
Success!
Wait, no, delete that.
Too late. It's posted on YouTube.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
How do you feel?
I've never felt so alive. This power. This absolute power.
No, Boehner. This war won't be cheap. Israel's going to need about $5 trillion from the U.S. government.
$5 trillion, sure.
We'll also need the U.S. to condemn Islam as a religion.
No problem. Oh, my God. The president is gonna be so pissed.
Yes, he is. Hey, you wanna do something really crazy?
I'm on the biggest high of my life right now, sir. What's on your mind?
Let's go TP the White House.
Mr. Prime Minister, I could kiss you. Driver, pull into this Walmart. We need to make a pit stop. Should we get single ply or double?
Double? Much harder to remove.
Double it is. So this is what it feels like to live.
This portion of the show was brought to you by
New Spleem with GL70. Now with added green sparkles and flooring.
All rights reserved.
Gosh, GL70? Is this an improvement over GL35?
Is it ever? GL70 delivers virtually twice the
whomp
factor.
All rights reserved.
As GL35. Only now it's got green sparkles and fluorate for that added
whomp
factor.
Patent pending.
Say, why don't you try it for yourself?
I'm way ahead of you. Hey, my skin is falling off!
You idiot, you're supposed to put it in your car.
You idiot, you're supposed to put it in your car.
New Spleem with GL70. Now with green sparkles and fluorate for that added
Womp
factor.
All rights reserved, patent pending. Womp factor may vary.
We now return to our regular programming of A Guy Jerking Off Into Your Salad, brought to you by
New, A Guy Jerking Off Into Your Salad with F310. Now with added green sparkles and fluorate.
All rights reserved.
Gosh, F310? Is this an improvement over F155?
Is it ever? F310 delivers virtually twice the
Womp
factor.
All rights reserved.
As F155. Only now it's got sparkles and fluorate for that added
Womp
factor.
Patent pending.
Say, why don't you try it for yourself?
I'm way ahead of you. Hey, my skin is falling off.
You idiot, you're supposed to put it in your car.
You idiot, you're supposed to put it in your car.
New, a guy jerking off into your salad with F310. Now with added green sparkles and fluorate for that added
Womp
factor. But don't just take it from me. Let's hear it from a man on the street.
Hey, guys. Who doesn't love green sparkles and fluorite?
Womp
factor!
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 Womp factor!
Okay, people, quiet down! This meeting of the ISIS strategy group will come to order. Did you guys see that Saturday Night Live sketch about us?
Yeah, I liked it. But I like Taron Killam in anything. I do miss Phil Hartman, though.
I thought it was in questionable taste. You shouldn't make fun of ruthless killers. We work really hard at being ruthless killers.
That's true. We have feelings. Well, except for compassion.
Idiots! They're making fun of us. We have to respond. What do we do?
Behead somebody?
Boring! That's what we always do! It's getting really old.
What about that guy we set on fire?
No good. Focus groups were very confused by it. They thought it was a protest against the Vietnam War.
We need a more video-friendly way of killing someone. How about if we cover someone with Mentos and throw them in a vat of Coca-Cola?
Didn't work. Look, the SNL thing shows we're being attacked with humor. We have to respond with humor.
Hey, how about if we make the severed heads talk, you know? Just put them on our hands like sock puppets.
Look at me. I'm a decapitated head. What a pain in the neck. Get it? Pain in the neck?
Oh, oh, oh. Hey, I think I'm having an off-of-body experience.
That's actually not bad. But the front office has signed up someone from the West to help us with our humor offensive.
Allah! Not another mousy teenage girl!
No. A pro. This guy.
Think about your father. He doesn't know where anything is. You ask him to do something, he messes it up.
Come on, boss. This is gonna make us look bad.
It's done. It's practical and it's cheap. All he wants is 1,000 rupees and a dressing room that locks. Oh, and some mousy teenage girls. Now get to work. See if you can tweak that talking severed head thing into his voice.
And your mother sends you down when you go down to see what your father's doing before he blows the house up, please. That's a genius at work.
I knew Brad was the one for me. As soon as I looked at his profile, I saw his bitchin' truck, and he looked bitchin', and he was cool.
And Cheryl seemed cool, you know? I told my friend Andrew she looked cool.
Why you gotta bring up Andrew?
Andrew's cool.
You always bring your friends into it. It's about us.
Why have you gotta be on the rag like 20 days a month?
Fuck you, Brad!
Oh, here it comes.
At OK Stupid, we match people who just aren't very bright. Our questionnaire uncovers the qualities you need for a long-term codependent relationship from which neither party can escape.
Back my phone. Stop being drunk.
I will cut you.
You'll cut me with my phone?
Find that black hole of a relationship you've always dreamed of on OK Stupid.
What a baby.
The Final Edition Radio Hour will be right back. Tony, we gotta come up with a promo. Our listeners don't know enough about all the great stuff the Final Edition does. Even when we tell them, it's all this like blah 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 dot 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 www URL crap. No one gets what that is on radio. They just tune it out.
Well, I have the perfect way to hold their attention while we give them the goods. When I was at the National Lampoon in the 70s, our most famous cover had a cute mutt with a .38 Magnum to its head and the legend, "Buy this magazine or we'll shoot this dog."
Yeah, I remember that, but how does that help us? It was a visual image for a magazine.
Meet Freckles.
Oh, Freckles? Oh, there, there. Good boy. What's the matter then?
Also, meet my .38 Magnum.
Jesus Christ, you have a gun? Don't wave that thing around here. Is that thing loaded?
Sure is. Hey, listeners to the Final Edition Radio Hour on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. If you don't stay tuned to this promo while Jeff gives you all the necessary info about our fabulous website and our fabulous YouTube channel and other fabulous stuff we do, I will shoot this dog.
Jesus, man, take the gun out of that defenseless animal's ear.
Uh-uh. Give him a good, Jeff.
Oh, my God. Poor Freckles. Okay, fine. Hey, listeners to the Final Edition Radio Hour, you want more of what we do, go to thefinaledition.com. Our radio airs on this network on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at 8, as well as Wednesday at midnight. We've also got an album, we've got a Twitter feed, we've got a great YouTube channel, Facebook, everything you can want at thefinaledition.com.
Now, tell them to tap all that into their iPhones or leave themselves an audio memo.
No, I won't. I told them enough, Tony. I'm calling the SPCA.
Tell them, or the dog gets it. I'm cocking the gun right now.
Okay, listeners, please, write this down. Thefinaledition.com. Thefinaledition.com. Go there for everything you want from the Final Edition, or this crazy old British coot is going to plug old Freckles.
Okay, that wasn't so hard, was it? Come here, Freckles, you dumb old chum. Hey,
Hey, get down! Get down! Get away from me! Get you crazy bug!
Good job, Freckles! Get him! Sick him! Oh, yeah, this is Jeff Kreiser for the final edition of Radio Hour on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. 8 p.m. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Midnight on Wednesday.
No, Freckles, put that thing down! You don't have opposable thumbs! No!
We now return to AMC's The Walking Dead.
Welcome to Alexandria, Rick. You and your people will be safe here.
I don't trust you.
I know.
We've not only fought walkers, we killed a bunch of humans, too. We don't trust any people.
Wait, excuse me. What the hell is a walker?
What do you mean? Walkers? Those dead things that try to eat us every day.
What? No, those are called roamers.
Roamers?
Yes.
That's a dumb name.
What's so awesome about walkers? That name sucks. At least roamer is ominous. Like, look at those roamers. Roaming the earth trying to eat my brain. What's a walker? What do you say? Oh no, look out, a walker.
That's what we call them. Discussion over.
Oh no, it is not. We have to come to an agreement of what the official name of these things is going to be. Otherwise, everybody is going to keep yelling walkers and roamers at each other all the time.
They're called bodies.
The governor!
Who is this guy?
He's a guy who's been killed a couple times. And he's back again.
Well, you have such dumb names for the things I had to come back. Bodies. You call them bodies. It's what they do. They bot. Hence, bodies.
Who made you king of naming the roamers?
Walkers!
I'm not a king. I am the governor. Although I do like that, I say I should have called myself the king. But is that too pretentious?
You're not even supposed to be here. You've been killed a couple times.
Right. We didn't invite you here. You need to go out and wander with the roamers.
Walkers!
Oh, I can't take it anymore.
Daryl!
I've been creepily lurking around unnoticed by you people while I feel sorry for myself. They are zombies. They have always been zombies. Nobody needs to come up with any names. They always had a name, and that name is Zombie. And I'm going to kill the governor again.
No! Ah! I'm dead again.
I still like walkers.
What about bleeders? Does that work?
Maybe.
Stay tuned for the 9-hour marathon of AMC's The Walking Dead, where Rick holds a brainstorming session, moderated debate, and vote over what everybody is going to call the zombies.
According to a recent study, the average penis size turns out to be shorter than once thought. The final edition asks the man on the street, what do you think?
Yes!
Why are you asking me?
It's not the penises that have gotten smaller, it's the vaginas that have gotten larger.
Thanks, Obama.
I've never had any complaints, except on the subway.
Well, I think maybe they're fudging the numbers. And by fudge, I mean...
This is average, isn't it? Hey, lady, this is average, right? Hey, all you people over there.
Where would a fella go about getting involved in a study like that?
Is that normal when there's blood?
Friends, have you been looking for salvation from the usual dessert treat? Tired of Grandma's Jell-O fruit molds? Sick of Aunt Fanny's prune pie? Friends and flock, I have a dessert treat that will make you throw up your rice pudding and say, Hallelujah!
Jesus on a stick, the heavenly dessert treat that makes you feel devilish. Great for church picnics, revivals, and those late-night exorcisms.
Yes, friends, now you can experience the taste sensation of eating the body of Christ. I have here sitting next to me a rather sickly little boy, Billy Lungbutter.
Hello.
Little Billy is enjoying a tasty Jesus on a stick. Now tell the nice folks what you think of your scrumptious savior.
Mmm, yummy.
Just keep licking, Bailey, and you will be hailed.
Hallelujah.
There you go, son. Now get out of here. You bother me.
A Mrs. Elvin Whitler wrote in about her experience with Jesus on a stick.
I'm a 26-year-old mother of eight. My children love sucking on the Son of God more than they do my own teats. My 3-year-old baby girl had pink eye. I placed my 10-year-old half-eaten Jesus on a stick on the pussin' eye, and it were healed instantly. Praise Jesus on a stick.
And now, listen to these very real testimonies by not very real people.
It's so delicious, it's almost sacrilegious.
And it's kosher, too.
As many hearing me scared into her nest, similar Jesus on a stick.
It's sacrilegious.
Jesus on a stick comes in grape, cherry, blood of Christ orange, and new raspberry vanilla swirl. Hurry to your local grocers today and pick up some Jesus on a stick, because the rapture is upon us.
And now, more real voices of CPAC.
If you really care about something, then you need to go all in. There were no half measures in the Christie household growing up, and there's none now. I care about fighting for the people that I represent.
The 4-year degree is still important, okay? I went to 4-year degree.
What I'm looking for in any candidate is, first of all, respect for the limits of the Constitution as the founders wrote them.
And now, Jim Earl reads another tasteless obituary of a real dead person.
Alastair Cameron developed the giant impact theory. Alastair Cameron, the astrophysicist who first theorized the moon was formed billions of years ago after Earth collided with another planet, died recently when a chunk of arterial plaque collided with his heart. His giant impact theory of 1976 was widely mocked until overshadowed by Elton John teaming up with Kiki D. Cameron's giant impact theory postulated that the moon was created after an object the size of Mars struck Earth, leaving huge amounts of rubble in its wake that eventually formed the moon and parts of the Bronx. In his quest for answers, Cameron also discovered how gigantic dying stars create new stars as they explode. In other words, he helped solve the mystery of Lisa Marie Presley's career. Cameron requested his body be hurled at light speed into Paul Sorvino.
You're listening to the People's Alternative Health Radio, the network that frees you from the tyranny of medical science. And we're talking today to Edwina and Philip Mason, two parents who don't want to expose their children to the dangerous experiment of conventional health care. Edwina and Philip, welcome.
Oh, thank you. I have to say, this show is a breath of fresh air.
Now, you've decided to use more alternative forms of treatment for your children. What brought that about?
That's when our son Dennis cracked his head open on an old brass doorknob.
Oh, I see.
Wide open.
Uh-huh.
He was demonstrating something he saw on YouTube, and I was thinking about something else at the time, and I heard his skull crack like a ginger snap.
Well, we took him to a doctor in good faith, but the more I saw, the less faith we had in the whole process.
Oh, you said it, Lovey. I mean, they wanted to cover his head in plaster. I mean, they make houses out of that, don't you know? Do you think your child should be covered in roofing material?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, it's like the Middle Ages, I tell you.
The doctor also told our son to avoid sports or physical exertion for a while, which is clearly unhealthy for a child his age.
Childhood obesity has nearly doubled in the last 30 years.
They also told us to give him Tylenol for pain. Well, first of all, isn't that just like a doctor? Go right for the drug.
Amen.
Plus, have you read about the dangers of Tylenol? It was on This American Life.
I see you brought little Dennis along with you.
Yes, he sleeps a great deal now. It's a natural part of the healing process.
And the blood coming out of his mouth?
Bleeding is a time-honored cure for most things.
Do you have any other children at home?
Yes. Our 9-year-old daughter, Carol, is in school right now. She's got bubonic plague, so we're treating it by keeping her active.
And I see you're pregnant.
No, it's a tumor.
Well, congratulations on that, too. And get well soon, Dennis. You want to say hi to any of your friends? Great! Coming up, treating rabies with herb tea.
With luck, we'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Final Edition Radio Hour's periodically awesome interview session with a comedy and satire newsmaker. Didn't we call this Talking with Tony at one point?
We did, but now we're not calling it Talking. Okay, we're not calling it Talking with Tony.
Instead, we're going to be talking with a very funny, very smart, very wonderful man. Ahmed Ahmed is a well-known comedian to anybody that knows comedy. One thing I didn't know until I was looking at your bio today is that Ahmed Ahmed won the Edinburgh Festival's Richard Pryor Award, which is very cool. I think that we all have great reverence for Richard Pryor's comedy, and we all now have great reverence for Ahmed Ahmed's comedy. He is the star of the Final Edition's new web series, The Secret Diaries of a Terrorist, and he joins us today from Los Angeles. Ahmed, you're on the line with me, Jeff, and Tony Hendra. Welcome.
Hey, what's up, Jeff? What's up, Tony? Thanks for having me on your show.
Delighted. Delighted.
And thanks for all the nice, kind words, man. I'm flattered. I didn't know what, no one's ever said things like that to me that nicely.
Yeah, well, as a comedian, I understand the value of occasional positive reinforcement because
right.
It's very rare.
So much negative. Every once in a while, it's like, oh, this guy's really cool. It's like, okay, thanks.
Don't worry. I'll call you a jerk when we're off the air. So I want to jump right into talking about this series that we did, or this video shoot that we did. You know, you and I had a good long talk about whether or not you were going to be involved with it. And I'm wondering, if you gotten much feedback either before when you shared the script with people, or since it's come out? And just a quick background for people listening: it's a web series called "The Secret Diaries of a Terrorist." Ahmed plays Mustafa, the head of a sitcom family. It's very funny, but of course, some might find some issues involved regarding the treatment of terrorism and certain topics such as Muslim identity, and even their jokes about Jews, and particularly in light of the reaction that Saturday Night Live just got about a fairly tame sketch involving ISIS. And Ahmed is a Muslim American, and I am just wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what your experience was putting together that video.
Well, I remember my agent had said, you know, there's this project that they're doing in New York, and it's a pilot for a web series, and they kind of explained it to me, and I said, well, you know, send me the script and let me read it. And so I did, and I laughed out loud. There were a couple lines in there that I shouldn't have been offended by, but I just felt like it's a little offensive. And so I worry a little bit, like, oh, this might be too much. It might be crossing the line a little bit too much. And I think when you're coming out of the gate with projects like this, you have to trust the writing and the people behind it, that it's their voice. And it's, you know, it's ultimately and originally, you know, their voice and their words. So, you know, actors are people who bring those words alive. And I remember we had a discussion about one particular line, which I just didn't feel comfortable saying. And when I read the script overall to not only just regular, just, you know, Anglo-Americans, I would, you know, I remember reading the script out loud to my friend's mother, who's a traditional, you know, older Egyptian woman. And she was laughing out loud, like everything. So I thought, all right, well, if she gets it, then, you know, I'll trust her sort of barometer and you know.
Right.
So, but then when we did it and, you know, we kind of put it out there a little bit on social media and stuff, nobody commented so far, because I don't think it's out there that rapidly yet. I think it's still sort of leaking out there still. But almost everybody said they thought it was funny and they hit it right on the money and, you know, things like this should be, you know, I guess heightened and taken in a sort of comedic manner. A couple of my friends who are sort of industry insiders, like filmmakers and just people that are sort of in the entertainment industry, I showed to, and they said almost everybody said they loved it. They thought it was hilarious, except there's a couple of things that would be offensive. And these were Jews, by the way.
Well, they should speak before Congress, and then they can settle it that way.
Right.
I know, right? I was like, well, you know, your people wrote it, so go put the finger at them.
Yeah, and I think one of the factors here is that it is conceived as a sitcom, and you just do a charming job of playing this terrorist. I mean, it's that takes a lot of the.
I don't know if that was a compliment or an insult.
No, you're a charming terrorist, which is great.
No, I'm kidding. What's funny is when I read the script, I thought the only way to make this funny is just to play it as real as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
And with the exception of a couple, you know, sort of little sticky moments in the end, I try to just, you know, just have fun with it, but be like, you know, I was a real, like, you know, real situations with my family and my wife. And so,
yeah.
But everything sort of painted around that was this backdrop of terrorism. And I think that's the brilliance of it. It's just kind of lifted the face mask of terror off the terror.
Right.
And, you know, let's face it, not to glorify or say anything positive about terrorism, but they have lives.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think that, you know, as we talk about
that. Wives and families and kids, and they get, like, health benefits, and who knows?
Right, exactly.
They have 401ks.
Sort of.
Right.
Well, you know, obviously we thank you for taking it on, and I know that for yourself, as well as I'm sure for any sort of Muslim American actor, there is, you know, we talked about this, some sort of post 9/11, all the roles were for terrorists, and that is not necessarily what you want to do creatively. I know that I think I saw that your role on Sullivan and Son is one of the few Muslim American roles that is not stereotypical, and I think that's great, and I applaud efforts like that.
Well, the beauty of Sullivan and Son was it was not only one of the few, it was the only. Because I sort of dug around and tried to figure out if there was ever an actor or an actress on a, you know, live multi-cam sitcom,
right,
that was Arab, you know, 100% Arab Muslim playing an Arab Muslim, and there wasn't. So for me, it was kind of like a groundbreaking milestone after being in this business and getting my ass kicked for 25 plus years, finally getting a platform to just play a regular guy who hangs out in a bar and he drives a tow truck and he's in his 40s and he's trying to date.
Right.
So it was a stretch.
Like those guys, like those guys exist. Like, I'm that guy.
Right.
Like, they wrote the character loosely based on me, you know, technically. So,
well,
so
good.
You know, that was a big sort of, that was a big springboard for me. And I think it was a big springboard for, you know, people in Hollywood who were paying attention to the show that, and, you know, and with the help of all these other sort of Middle Eastern comedians that are coming out of the woodworks, and there's, you know, let's face it, Arabs will always be in the news. We're not going anywhere. And I don't say that with pride. I say that with disdain. But in this, you know, time of disdain and sort of negative reflection on it, comedians and people like myself, and I'll speak for most comedians, that's why we do comedy. That's our sort of escapism and trying to find some sort of justice in it all.
Our hope with this series and this show is to sort of, by going way over the top, sort of undercutting the stereotypes that do apply to Muslims, because if everybody thinks that every Muslim is a terrorist and this would be their home life, and it's so patently absurd that it undermines the whole ability for people to stereotype. And, you know, our goal is to ridicule terrorists, all of them, as misogynistic a-holes.
Yeah, in a funny way, this sort of turns the stereotype on its head, because it's because it is so absurd and so impossible. But at the same time, as you said, Amit, that they have lives. They have 401ks and all the rest of it. Right. So it's, I mean, I think this is actually a step forward, not a step backward right. in a stereotype.
I sure hope so. And I think that, you know, whoever watches this clip, you know, sees the humor in it and can go, okay, like, I mean, I hate to say this, but it would be really funny if, you know, somebody in some sort of terrorist organization saw this and was like, you know what? That's pretty damn good, man.
That would be great. We need a sponsor. And you know right. what? They got money.
Hey, ISIS has plenty of money, right?
Exactly. They're like, you know what? They were so spot on with everything. But you know what? They messed up the address. It's not 227. It's 228.
Exactly. I blew up a guy that has a cardiologist friend in L.A. Maybe I can get a walk on.
Right.
Yeah.
Listen, Ahmed, I'm sure you don't want to, and I don't want to just talk about, you know, your role as a Muslim American actor and comedian. I actually want to ask you about this event you did, I think, this past weekend with our good friend John Fugelsang, who has contributed a bunch to Final Edition. It was a Bill of Rights comedy show. I think it was in D.C. Can you tell us a little bit something about that? It's something that I am passionate about coming from with a law background, and it just looked like a great, great project.
Yeah, sure. My name got thrown in the hat to be a part of an extraordinary lineup of just legendary comedians. And it was at the Warner Theater in D.C. It was called Lewis Black and Friends, My Bill of Rights, Let Freedom Laugh. And he didn't host it. He kind of went up for Sarah Silverman. They had like a recorded voiceover that she did with the lights down. And then she introduced Lewis Black. He came out for like probably 10 minutes. And then he just kind of introduced himself and told everybody what was going on tonight. And then he came off stage, and then there was an announcer that introduced each comic. They filmed it for taped it for Access TV, Mark Cuban's network.
They did have that live at Gotham show and a bunch of other comedy stuff.
Yeah, so they sold this show to Access. So they had a whole crew and cameras and cranes and pregame meet and greet and interview. It was 2,000 people, and it was sold out. Standing next to Dick Gregory and Tommy Smothers and Lewis Black and John Fugelsang and Cristela Alonso was there, just got this TV show on ABC, and Chris Bliss, and who was a sort of ex-comic juggler performer, but now is a producer and put this whole thing together. It thought it'd be a great idea with what's going on in the world and people having their amendments, you know, First Amendment and Bill of Rights.
Wasn't there some element of it
violated?
Yeah, wasn't there some element of it that was about he wanted to put the Bill of Rights, like, in every state house or something, just like some places want to put the Ten Commandments? Was there some angle of that, or am I getting things confused?
I don't remember any comedian referencing that, but who knows?
Yeah.
I was backstage. I was paying attention like half of the show, but
okay.
But it was a really, really cool event. Like I never would have guessed in a million years I would, you know, be considered a guy that would get considered for a show like that. So it was fun, and it was inspiring, and I learned a lot just hanging out with all those old, you know, legendary living legends, you know.
Yeah, that's why I work with Tony. He's a living legend. He's not old though, he's very young.
Right.
I will say this, all of those guys know how to party.
That's why there's probably one particular Bill of Rights that they want to make sure they want to make sure they can't get. Listen, we gotta wrap up. We gotta do our show. Is there anything in particular you want to mention? I know you've done this Just Like Us tour, and I think I saw you're trying to do another. But any projects that you like our smart comedy fans to know about?
Well, currently, if you go to my website, ahmedahmed.com, I have some dates coming up around the country. I'll be in Richmond, Virginia, coming up, and Kansas City, and have some college dates happening in Long Island and Denver. But I'm just going back to the drawing board. Our show Sullivan and Son got canceled, so I'm back at the drawing board trying to come up with something new and preparing for, you know, the next sort of pilot season that's around, and just kind of on tour really and writing. So
good.
Ahmed.com if you want to check out any dates that are coming up.
It sounds great, and hopefully we will call you to negotiate your deal as a lead of The Secret Diaries of a Terrorist.
Absolutely.
Episodes. I can't wait for that, Paul. All right.
As soon as we get that money from the Saudis.
Exactly. all right. Thank you, everyone. We've been talking with Ahmed Ahmed here on the Final Edition Radio Hour. Thank you for your time talking to us and, of course, together the show. And best of luck with everything.
Thanks, Ahmed. Thanks
Thank
a lot.
Thank you, guys. Hey, great. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
Take care. The Final Edition Radio Hour will be right back.
And now, some more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
We take you now to the Iran nuclear talks continuing in Montreux, Switzerland, between Secretary of State John Kerry and Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif.
Mr. Zarif, the time is now 3:45. We've spent the last 7 hours sitting here and staring at each other across the table. This has truly been an exercise in futility.
Mr. Kerry, I want to sincerely apologize for a disappointing afternoon. It was my turn to pick the restaurant. Believe me, that's the last time I order falafel in Switzerland.
Mr. Zarif, forgive me for sounding a little exasperated, but at the rate we're going, we will never reach an agreement before the deadline.
With all due respect, Mr. Kerry, if I had a dinar for every time you've said that, I would be a wealthy Iranian. The sad truth is, my country and your country hate each other's guts. Though, personally speaking, I think you're one of the good ones.
Thank you, Mrs. Zarif. As you know, my government is pressing me for very specific assurances, as is your own, and the clock is ticking. I'm sure we both feel the same relentless pressure.
That's true, Mr. Kerry. But if you botch your side of the deal, they're not going to cut your hands off on pay-per-view.
I think perhaps we should return once again to the issue of how long Iran is willing to forgo all nuclear activity.
Sure. Why the hell not?
As President Obama has made clear, it is the position of our government that Iran must curtail all nuclear activity for 10 years. We simply cannot accept any shorter time frame.
I get that.
Mr. Zarif, that is not unreasonable. 10 years of no nuclear activity in exchange for a lifting of the sanctions.
All right, Mr. Kerry. Here is my counteroffer. Try and stop us.
Mr. Zarif, I truly believe you want the sanctions lifted more than you need to pursue your whatever it is you're doing, and let's face it, you haven't exactly been completely upfront about that.
As I've told you many times, Mr. Kerry, Iran is building nuclear reactors to provide its citizens with safe, clean energy.
Yes, Mr. Zarif, you've said that perhaps 900 different times. Safe, clean nuclear energy. The wave of the future. And when I return to the White House, I'll be sure to tell President Eisenhower.
Okay, so I'm stonewalling, but you're moving things along with sarcasm.
Fair enough, Mr. Zarif. You want to move things along, and so do I. May I make a suggestion?
I'm all ears.
Okay, let's just say for the sake of argument that your country is building, I don't know, a nuclear bomb?
Fine, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Here's where I'm going. You're building a bomb. Just say it. Say you're building a bomb. Everybody knows you're building one. You know everybody knows. You're not fooling anyone.
I'm telling you, Mr. Kerry, my right hand to Allah, we're not building a nuclear bomb.
You know, Mrs. Zarif, building the bomb is bad enough. But the lying about it, it's extremely disappointing. Why not just admit it?
Because, Mr. Kerry, we're not building a bomb. Also, the thing I said about cutting my hands off on pay-per-view. Speaking of cutting things off, I think this is a good stopping point, don't you? Let's come right back to this first thing tomorrow morning, huh?
Yeah, let's do that.
Cheer up, Mr. Kerry. At least you get to drink.
Happy birthday! So, go on then. What's the magic number?
Oh, no.
Hey, I told you about my third nipple. Come on.
Well, if it means that much to you, I'm 28 today.
Ew. Now you have to pay the Tinder old age surcharge?
Tom, what are you doing? Are you real life left swiping me? That's a pawn. Tom, seriously, stop swiping me. The fuck?
This public service announcement was paid for by citizens who know that nothing good ever happens on Tinder after 10 p.m. or 28 years of age.
And now more real voices of CPAC.
In a presidential candidate, I'm looking for someone who is pro-liberty.
I'm looking for a man or woman of principle.
The first thing I am looking for in a presidential candidate is someone who's honest.
the candidate I am looking for is one who is very conservative and states his principles and follows them.
Hi, everyone. I'm Juliana Forlano, and now, the Absurd Minute. John Kerry was fined $50 for not shoveling snow. In his defense, as Secretary of State, he doesn't have time to shovel snow. He's too busy shoveling shit. The government of Jamaica has decriminalized small amounts of marijuana. Unfortunately, when in Jamaica, nobody ever smokes just small amounts of marijuana. ISIS is threatening to attack Rome. That gives a whole new meaning to Italian ISIS. Bada bang! A Republican state representative called Mr. Spock, quote, the greatest Republican in the history of the galaxy. It should be pointed out that Spock was the ship's science officer, not its greed, superstition, and ignorance chief.
Space.
I think it'd be kind of a tough job to be the science officer on a ship traveling across millions of light years if you believe that the universe is only 6,000 years old. The Republican Party in Lawrence County, South Carolina, tried to make all potential candidates sign a pledge that, among other things, says that they've never had premarital sex. Hey, Republicans, there's already a place for people who've never had sex. It's called Comic-Con. 29% of Louisiana Republicans say that they believe President Obama is responsible for the slow response to Hurricane Katrina. What's worse, another 15% think he's responsible for the eruption of Mount St. Katrina. Not a thing. The controversy over how folks perceive the color of a photo of a dress on the internet has turned into an international phenomenon. Some people say the dress is blue, others perceive the same dress as being white. The only group who consistently gave the right answer are husbands, who say, white, blue, either way, you look great, let's go! A North Carolina Ethics Commission has ruled that it's perfectly legal for lobbyists to have sex with politicians. Ironically, this usually results in the rest of us getting screwed. You've been listening to The Absurd Minute. I'm Juliana Forlano. Find our full-length show on the Progressive Voices Radio Network.
Hello, and welcome to the Clan of the Woolly Mammoth. I'm Zog, head of human resources.
Morb.
Nice to meet you, Morb.
Morb is my people's word for hello. My name is Dag.
Sorry, Dag. I take it you're here about the job opening for a hunter-gatherer. Do you have a resume?
Here's the head of a deer I killed and butchered.
That'll do. Obviously, you've got a hunting skill set. If it came down to it, would you be willing to help with the gathering? Mostly nuts and berries.
Don't your women do most of the gathering?
Yeah, we're trying to mix that up a little. The girls have been complaining. They say we're acting like cavemen.
And their point is?
Look, I don't get it either. But your flexibility on the gathering thing would be really appreciated.
Hey, I'm a tribe player.
Thanks. With that in mind, can I ask you why you left your last clan?
No opportunity for advancement. I wanted to explore my full potential, so I killed the chief with a rock. And they still didn't move me up.
Well, we appreciate initiative here. Do you have any hobbies?
Cave painting, I guess. Hopping around with a spear. Oh, I like to make little figurines of obese female figures with grotesquely exaggerated genitals, often with no facial features.
I love those things! Who came up with that? Listen, I need to mention that that's quite a brow ridge you have. If you're part Neanderthal, I want to assure you that we are an equal opportunity employer. We had a flintknapper not too long ago who was a Neanderthal. Great guy.
Thanks, but I'm Cro-Magnon.
Not that it matters. Oh, and if you're worried about healthcare, we have an excellent shaman. Turns himself into a hawk or a wolf.
Ooh, good to know. When will you be making your decision?
Definitely before the glaciers retreat. Do I have your contact info?
Well, we're all nomadic, but I'll be following the mammoth herds until the spring thaw.
Excellent. We'll be in touch. Until then, you know where my cave is. My door is always open.
Thanks. What's a door?
Right. Jerry Healy here, stopping fat bastard Americans on the street to see if they feel confident enough to go commando after wiping their fat asses with Cottonelle. Excuse me, sir. Did you just drop a nasty?
Excuse me?
Did you just take a shit?
Yeah. I just dropped a nasty shit.
Fantastic. And do you feel like you got it all? All those nasty little giblets?
No. Actually, I feel like I'm smuggling an egg roll between my ass cheeks.
Oh, sounds like somebody needs some Cottonelle. Here, do some spring cleaning on those dirty squirties with this.
Oh, Liam Neeson, that feels good. Oh, those ripples are making waves on my dump clumps. I feel like I'm releasing Meatloaf's daughter from the clutches of Jackson Pollock.
Well, Harry Plopper, now that you've released that dung bomb, how about you slip off those bloomers and go commando?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Cheeky monkey. Only Cottonelle has ripples that guarantee the next time you take a Shatner, you won't leave spark marks on your tribbles. Cottonelle, go commando.
Liam Neeson!
I'm the Final Edition news correspondent Brock Wilson reporting live from just outside of a Mormon compound located somewhere near the Idaho-Utah state border, I think. And I'm here with Mr. Zeg and Mr. Zug.
Hey, Zug, he ain't got no hair on his face.
No, he ain't got no facial hair.
Indeed. And you two recently contacted local authorities regarding a sleeper cell of extremist Islamic squirrels that you have been tracking in these woods for the past several weeks. According to your statements, they are deadly little critters and possibly funded by ISIS.
Yep, that's right. We contacted the authority about them, but they didn't pay no attention to us.
Tell them about the thing that took Lizzie.
I'm getting to that. And that's when we found the Sasquatch.
You are referring to Bigfoot, correct?
Uh-huh. He come out of the woods while we were sitting around the campfire and took our only woman, Miss Lizzie.
Hold on. It looks like someone or something is stepping out of the compound. Yes, it is most certainly the infamous Bigfoot, and there appears to be a small group of women wearing bonnets following closely behind it. I will approach them with caution and attempt to interact with the creature. Hello, I'm with the media. Please don't hurt me.
Oh, well, hello there, and how do you do? Yeah, I couldn't help but notice you guys hanging out here. I just wanted to clear a few things up.
We want our woman, Miss Lizzie, back.
Goose Grease, I don't want to come back. I love him, and I is all his.
See, this is what I wanted to discuss with you. All these women are here of their own volition. When I came upon the campfire by instinct, it frightened me, and I charged. But one whiff of this divine hillbilly woman, and I knew it was true love. We're all very, very happy here, and only want to live in peace and harmony, together. Just me and them. Is that so wrong?
Mr. Sasquatch, what do you say to people who think interspecies relationships are wrong?
I'll say we kill them and eat them.
It's them ISIS squirrels. See? We was right.
This has been Brock Wilson with the Final Edition reporting to you. Oh, dear God, get it off me. It's got my nuts.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is performed at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Dan Vitale, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lenk, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, Rob Miller, James Mount, Andrew Danish, Leslie Shapira, Ann Tuchel, and Darby Worley. The show is written at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lenk, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Leslie Shapira, Jeremy Rayburn, Kate Knowles, and Steve Rosenfield. Additional music by Kevin MacLeod. The Final Edition is produced and directed by Tony Hindra and Jeff Chrysler. West Coast production by Barry Lenk. Audio editing and production by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2014.